Welcome to Rapid Roundup, a series where we take several games throughout the week, do mini critiques on them, and let you know what we think. Throughout all of this, my name is Moriarty.
And my name is Brax.
And this week, we'll be taking a look at
Train Station Simulator.
Rumu.
They Have Horns.
Detached VR. Later on in the week on Wednesday,
we will take a look at Hidden Dragon Legend, a 2.5D Devil May Cry-like hack-and-slash game that puts you in Imperial China as you try to fight your way to victory against a bunch of evil guys that are trying to kill you.
And then on Friday, we'll take a look at Shooty Fruity, a mix of job simulator and wave-based shooter. It's got some very interesting aesthetics. It's a unique take on the wave-based shooter, but it is a wave-based shooter at heart. But for now,
let's round them up.
Rumu is a really neat game. This is a story-based game about being a sentient or semi-sentient vacuum cleaner.
So you take on the role of a vacuum cleaner. I actually saw something on the internet yesterday. This is related, but really weird. I saw two or three people talking about how much they loved to vacuum. So I guess this would be a game for them. If you're a fan of vacuuming, then that would be really fun. It does look neat. I'll say that. It looks kind of cute. And I like the little sentient being in itself. Like, it just looks kind of cute.
This is very, very story-driven. Cleaning up the messes itself is just kind of a core mechanic. But you get over that. And really what they're doing with the messes at the beginning is teaching you how to control your character. And it's really neat and a relevant way in the game lore to have a tutorial by saying you're a vacuum cleaner, so to teach you how to move, we're going to have you clean up some messes in the practice area over and over again. It's really, really simple, and it works. And by the time you're out of that practice area, by the time you go, you know, I'm realizing suddenly that this practice doesn't end, that there are hundreds of messes to clean up. After that, you feel confident controlling your character. And so it works really well, and it works in the game lore, it works in the universe, and I really enjoyed that a lot. The entire premise of this game, besides being a vacuum cleaner, is that you're experiencing a narrative that can be kind of deep, and it's very interesting, it's a little bit eccentric, and as you start moving through this house that you have been purchased to clean, you start unlocking through your exploration the story of these people.
That sounds really neat, actually, and I'm glad that you said it had a story, because I was curious, like, where can they go with this? If you're a vacuum cleaner and you clean messes, that's all well and fine, but there has to be something more there. And the way that you say it, the story is actually really well done, and it creates its own little atmosphere and universe almost, which is really neat. I am curious, though, how do these levels work? Are they like puzzles? Because there has to be a way that it gets more difficult to clean a mess up. It can't be that simple all the way throughout the game, right?
Again, the mess cleaning thing is just a carrier for the story. So you have little circles and you need to clean up, I think it's like 97% of the circle for it to be clean. And as you start to clean it, you will see a little circle that goes around it and you start cleaning it and eventually it's cleaned and you've finished that little puzzle. But it's not so much about the messes, it's very much about the story. And when we're talking about a story-driven game, the voice acting is really important, and the art is really important, and all of that. And one of the nice things is that this has some very seasoned voice actors in it who do an incredible job. I loved the voice acting in this, which, if you've been watching Crime War for quite a while, you'll know that that's one of the first things I'm happy to complain about. If you have bad voice acting, I will absolutely jump into it and say, this is bad. This game has incredible voice acting.
Great. And with the story being as interesting as you say it is, then I think I would play it. Now it makes more sense what you said about the cleaning the messes is really just secondary. It's really just a way to progress the narrative, basically. So in that way, it kind of reminds me of like a walking simulator, where it's really not about the gameplay as much as it is just finding a way to create that world, have those characters, have those really awesome voice actors. So if it does all of that well, then I would say I would definitely play this because I love me a good story, man.
I think Walking Simulator is a good definition for this type of game. It is a walking simulator that is a top-down, and it does it really well. The game is $20. It is definitely worth $20 if you're looking for this type of game. I feel like anybody who enjoys a walking simulator is going to know what I'm talking about when I say enjoy this type of game, because it is absolutely not a puzzle game in the traditional sense. It's not an action game. You're not going to be doing anything other than kind of learning the story.
With all of that said, it does look neat to me, and $20 doesn't seem like an outrageous price, so I would recommend it. I would like to play this. They Are Horns is an absolutely insane, fast-paced, horde-based shooter that, for me, made Left 4 Dead look like it was moving at glacial speed.
That's pretty high praise. Typically, you don't seem to like horde-based shooters, especially in VR. So, what makes this one special, other than it's not VR?
It is so fast. Like, that's the only way I can describe it. You never have to reload. You can hold down left trigger and the guns just fire super fast, especially the SMG. And you really just run around shooting, shooting, shooting as fast as you can. And everything blows up. Everything's chaotic. It's hectic. It's really so fun in an arcade way that I can't explain. Like, at one point, I think I actually broke the game because I stood still and I held down left trigger and just rotated my mouse clockwise, and I'm just spinning in a circle, mowing down zombies at like 100 kills a minute. It's absolutely insane, and it's fun in a very simplistic way.
I'm all about fun. This kind of reminds me of basically every other top-down horde shooter type game. I mean, we've seen a lot of them over time. This does look a little bit more graphic in that you see a lot of blood everywhere.
Yeah, it is. And it's quite gory, I'll admit that, but that doesn't really bother me. Again, I can't describe to you how good it feels, though, to really kill like 200 zombies in the matter of seconds. It feels really great. And you can throw a grenade at times, and it will just absolutely decimate 30 or 40 of them at once if you ever get into a bind. I mean, I don't think that this is revolutionary or anything. I don't think that it's something that you would play over and over. It's just really, for me, I guess you could go for a high score. That would be the only reason to continuously play it. But to hop in for a few seconds and just like really have fun in an arcade mode style game, I think this was a blast. And I wouldn't say that I would pay a lot of money for it, but it is only $3. And for $3, I think that it would be worth it just to play two or three times because I had a lot of fun. In a way that I guess I could describe it like this. If it's ever late at night or something and you don't really have anything else to play and you just are bored, I can't tell you how much I think people would enjoy actually just hopping in here and having fun playing through each of these missions because it just gets progressively more difficult. And I do think it would be cool to play it with friends, which is fortunate because it has four player co-op. With that being said, that's another reason to recommend it, just simply because of the price alone and the amount of fun that I had with this. I certainly will recommend it because it's very fun to have that SMG to throw grenades, and when you unlock the flamethrower, that's super fun too, to just be able to set zombies on fire and kill 250 of them in a matter of a couple of minutes.
I've always been a fan of twin stick shooters. I think that twin stick shooters are a lot of fun. They are super neat. And I mean, Geometry Wars, I loved Geometry Wars to a level that I think is probably unhealthy. So the fact that you have a really gory one with demons, I don't think they're zombies, but they could be. I don't know. I think they're demons, just judging by the aesthetic appeal, all the pentagrams, things like that. Like, I think it's probably demons, and I'm cool with blowing up demons in a twin stick shooter. I like the fact that they added in the walls here because I think that what you tend to see in a lot of twin stick shooters is a big open space, which leads to that Geometry Wars type of feeling. And what you end up doing as a player is just kiting enemies around in a giant circle and shooting behind you. So, with the walls in the way, I feel like that gives it an extra level of tactical dimension. And again, at $3, you really can't go wrong. That means that you and some friends for around $10 can jump in and play a co-op game, and that's a neat thing to have. Detached is a hardcore VR game, and I have to apologize right away because they did not include any sort of monitor that you can use to record this, so it's going to be very ugly, and you get to see exactly what I see inside of VR.
It certainly looks weird. It caught me off guard. I was wondering if something had gone wrong with the footage, but apparently that's just the way the game is, huh?
So what you are seeing is what actually gets put to the VR headset right now. This is what gets put into each eye. So you are seeing the actual raw footage of the VR headset. If you've never seen that before, this is it. This game is absolutely unplayable for me, and for most people, I think, because it is unforgiving with regards to nausea. This is a game where you move in space in every direction, and you can tilt, roll, spin, whatever, and it is really disorienting. By the time I was done playing this game, and I'll be honest, I couldn't play the game longer than 15 or 20 minutes. And I tried several times. Couldn't do it. Because it is so nauseating and so disorienting. By the time I was done, I was covered in a cold sweat.
That does not sound fun at all, to be honest. Is this a seated experience? Like, what made you so nauseous? Is it just the game itself seems to be...
You are in a EVA suit, which is an extravehicular activity suit. You see them when you see spacemen, astronauts in space. Those suits, they're mini spaceships, and they move. They have power. They have all sorts of stuff in them. You can be in them for many hours. They recycle oxygen and water and all that kind of stuff. You're in one of those suits. You are going through their story. I have no idea what that story is because I couldn't get far enough. And I felt within that period of time that it was enough for me to say this is a game that the casual player should never play. It is too disorienting. You have your controls, and you're holding your controllers in your hands. One of them will give you the ability to move forward and interact with stuff, and one of them controls your tilt, your roll, and all of that. Which means that you can, if you want, spin and go backwards and up and down and spin up, and you have full range of motion. However, my biggest problem with this game is that if you collide with something, you will very randomly spin.
That sounds awful, and it would contribute to getting sick, because in VR, it's already a little unsettling sometimes with your balance, and then if you bump into something, like, everything starts spinning around you, I could see where that would make you sick as well, for sure.
My overall experience with this title was, hey, this looks really pretty, man, I wish I could play it. Then I decided to take a look at the Steam page to see if maybe I was just missing something. Maybe it gets a lot better and it's just the tutorial's garbage. Their Steam trailer is essentially, here's all the rules about not making somebody sick. We don't care. How about you don't be a wimp? And I feel like, okay, that's certainly appealing to a certain audience, but that audience is not me.
It wouldn't be me either. I don't want to be told, you know, get over it, especially when it's a common complaint. Like, that's a terrible way to handle it. If there are a sizable amount of people on there saying, I can't play this because it makes me sick, I don't think an appropriate response is get over it. You really aren't doing anything productive for your audience. And I understand there might be some people out there that are hardcore VR experience guys, and they might be under the impression that, oh, well, I can play it, so that makes me better than you, and that makes me cool. But in reality, this is all about having fun, and if this experience is really one that makes you sick, and it makes a lot of people sick, then I can't really see why I would recommend it, no matter what the price is.
Hardcore Gamer, which is another reviewer, they describe this as the game for people who seek out roller coasters that make you sign a waiver before you get in. And I think that's absolutely the type of thing that this is for. It's for people who are really looking for the most hardcore VR experience. And I'm happy to be honest and say, that isn't me. I'm not somebody who thinks that this is fun. This made me ill. And I've been playing VR now for multiple years. This made me so ill that I had to sit down for 30 minutes and just sit. I was completely 100% unable to continue. The game is $25, and I feel like there's probably $25 worth of content here for people who are able to get into it. That just isn't me, and for that reason, I absolutely do not recommend it.
Train Station Simulator is a business management sim that allows you to do exactly what it sounds like it would. You run a train station. It really reminds me of the more old school business simulators like Theme Park by Bullfrog. Was one of my favorite games of all time. I say that because it's simple to me. The interface is not overly complicated like you see with newer things like Planet Coaster, which I actually hated. I could not stand that game because there was no direction and everything was already built for you when you started a certain mission or campaign. With this one, if you play the campaign mode, you actually do start with very little, and you build your way up, and you work your way to having a really successful train station. That, to me, is the most fun part of these types of games. I absolutely adored this game. I thought it was super, and it did it in a way that was more traditional where you have the ability to click on stuff and build stuff, and it's really just about making money and keeping your train station in shape, keep it clean, keep criminals out, things like that, just to make everything run really smoothly as you rake in that sweet cash.
Now, I tried this game out as well because it's a tycoon economic management game that fits right in my alley. That's the type of game I like. And I gotta say that as soon as I booted this up, I looked at everything and I was completely confused. And I ended up not playing the game and handing it over to Brax simply because I couldn't figure out what I was supposed to do. I couldn't figure out how to play the game.
I spent 15 minutes wondering why I wasn't making any money and why I didn't have any people wandering around my train station over a 24-hour period. And then I clicked on City Transit. And the way that works, well, the first step of that, before you do City Transit, you can install these basically like a place for taxi cabs to drop off passengers, a place for city buses to run to your train station, things of that nature. Once you purchase one of those, they can be kind of pricey, but once you purchase it and set it up, you go over to City Transit and you set up what time of the day you want the taxis to run by or the buses, etc. Without doing that, without setting the schedule up on City Transit, those passengers will never come. Like, it's very important for people when they start playing this game, just know you have to set your schedules up for the city transit, and you also need to set up your timetables for your trains, because once you get more than one train, you will need to set up, okay, track one is going to run at 8:30, track two at 9, track three at 9:30, etc. That way you can keep your trains from breaking and keep them in tip-top shape from a mechanical standpoint. But yeah, Moriarty, I'm pretty sure the reason you couldn't figure out what to do is because you really have to set up the scheduling to make this game work. I also like the fact that this is one of those games that will allow you to feel a sense of progression over time. So the objects get better and better. You start out with a small food truck, you might be able to upgrade to an entire restaurant. You start out with a small newsstand, you might be able to upgrade to an entire collection of news boxes and things of that nature. It's really neat. You do get to do more cool stuff as you go along. It gives you a sense of ownership because you run everything from the employees to the scheduling and everything in between. And once you start making money and you feel successful, it's really awesome. This game is $12.99, and for that price, I would absolutely recommend it because it is the type of tycoon game that you can get lots of hours out of, especially if you're a fan of the genre. And me being one, I think it does things really well in a very old school way. I get really tired of seeing these new generation economic business sims that are trying to do too much, and it has a cluttered UI, it has way too many things going on, and it really has a steep learning curve that's going to take you 2 or 3 hours to actually learn what you're doing. That's okay if you're that type of player, but for me, I like to be able to sit down, have a very laid-back time, and just make some imaginary money. This game is perfect for that, and for that reason, I recommend it.
I would also like to recommend it, but I would like to make a recommendation that they add in a simple tutorial just to kind of teach me all the little things. Now, I think that they are probably going to do that. This is an early access title, so I expect we will see that as more people jump into it and say, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'd really like to see that. And once they put that in, it will absolutely have my full blessing.
So, Em, you're looking forward to Red Dead Redemption 2, right?
I am, though I don't have a console that will play it. So I'm looking forward to it on PC, which means I will probably never get to play it.
You might have to wait a while. Remember with GTA 5, they eventually brought it to PC. It just took, what, like a year, a year and a half?
It was a year plus later that they finally brought GTA 5 to the PC. And I know why they do it. It makes a lot of sense. When it's on console, you're going to pay your $65 to pick it up, and you have to buy a physical copy, and you'll probably get the collector's edition for $180, and you've got to go and pay money for their various currency cards because you can't just, open up Cheat Engine and stick yourself more money. I get why they do it, and it makes perfect sense for that reason. But at the same time, I just want to play it on my PC. I have the PC, I don't have the Xbox.
Well, that is too bad, I suppose. The reason I was asking about it, aside from your inability to play it, they have announced a battle royale for this game and other online multiplayer things that go along with it. And I automatically think, I hope this game doesn't turn out to be really bad because they're focusing too much on online multiplayer aspects and not the single player. So perhaps it won't be a bad thing that you don't get to play it. What do you think? Is the game still going to be worth playing, even though they're focusing more on multiplayer aspects? And that's something to me that makes me curious about the state of gaming in general, where so many games nowadays are no longer simply single player campaigns that made so many games famous because of the awesome stories that they tell. More frequently, we get all this other stuff that is thrown into it, and I can't decide if I like that or not. And I can't decide if in the future that is going to be more commonplace in the industry, and we may not even have traditional single player games anymore that do things like Red Dead Redemption, the first one, did.
As soon as we saw that Take-Two, who is the distributor and owner of Rockstar Games, once they had posted that they made $268 million in a single quarter off of digital revenues, primarily meaning the GTA Social Club, we knew that multiplayer and an online presence was going to be the number one thing that they were going to work on having in any games that they produce. And they spend years doing this stuff, and they've spent years making Red Dead Redemption 2. And we know that GTA 5 continues to this day, 4 years later, making boatloads of cash. Just absolute boatloads of cash, thanks to people buying the Shark Cash cards and paying real money. There is absolutely no realistic expectation that online isn't a major priority. Because when somebody buys GTA 5 today, they may not even play the single player. They're getting it to jump in and do the ridiculous stuff that you see other YouTubers doing in GTA 5.
And when I think about Red Dead Redemption and the way it works, it's pretty obvious that, you know, Rockstar does the same things in those games. You're in an open world. You go to an icon to accept a mission and continue whatever you were doing, whether that be on horseback or in a car or helicopter tank, it doesn't matter. I really feel like Red Dead Redemption 2 will be okay in terms of the story, but I have a sneaking suspicion that the majority of the emphasis in this development is going into that online part, and we're going to get a GTA 5 clone just with cowboys instead of random criminals. I can't decide if I'm on board with that idea or not. And then when I hear the fact that they're adding a battle royale mode, because battle royale is super popular right now, it's like, what about my game though? You know, like, why are we doing all of this? All I wanted was, you know, a prequel, a prologue to John Marston that tells me more of that story. I don't really need it to be cluttered with all of this other stuff. If I want to do all of that, I'll play GTA 5. I'm just curious what this online is going to look like, and I hope I'm not going to be disappointed, because I've been looking forward to this game for a really long time, and now I'm starting to feel like, ugh, I don't know.
So here's my point of view on this, really, is it's difficult to say that Rockstar isn't going to produce a good game, because they've always produced good games. When we look at GTA 4, it was one of the greatest single-player experiences that I think most players have ever had. It's an incredible game. The story was really well done, outside of Cousin Roman. And when we look at GTA 5, it was a really well-done story, and it hit people, and it touched them, and it really affected people. And, you know, you saw videos coming out of what they did, and people talk about how they chose to end that game and what they did in it. So the story, I feel like, will probably be pretty good. And Take-Two and Rockstar have billions of dollars at this point that they just literally rake in. They can't do something without money falling into their hands at this point. There's no reason why this can't be a fantastic single-player game. And the multiplayer aspect of it is going to be there, and it's going to have microtransactions, and it's going to have ways to pay them more money, because it just makes them too much, and it wouldn't make sense not to have that. Do I think you're going to get a GTA 5 clone, a GTA Online clone? Yes, 100%. I believe that when Red Dead Redemption 2 comes out, its online multiplayer mode will be GTA 5 2.0, because it makes sense to do that. You're going to have people, you're going to have groups and guilds and whatever they call them in GTA 5, I can't remember, outfits or whatever, they're going to move to Red Dead Redemption 2 wholesale. They're going to have 200 members that go out and buy Red Dead Redemption 2 day of. They probably have already put in their pre-orders, and they're going to move directly over into that online world and continue. And they're going to expect that their Red Dead Redemption 2 online experience will be exactly the same as GTA 5. And those are the people, those heavy users, that they want to support the most. For the average user like you who's looking for the single player experience, you're going to pay your $60. You're going to get an okay or potentially better than okay story experience. And then you're never going to touch the online. And they're fine with that too.
That's cool. And I don't have a problem with that. It makes sense for them to do so from a business perspective. And I've been a supporter of Rockstar for a really long time. It's just when I did read this news recently and I started thinking about it, that was just something that was on my mind this week that I thought was worth discussing, not only because we're talking about with Red Dead Redemption, but also with just the way that gaming is headed right now. And I thought it was just worth mentioning, and I'm glad that you agree with me that we should probably be expecting a GTA 5 online clone, because that seems to be the thing to do. If something works, you just replicate it.
And I don't see why they wouldn't. GTA Online has made literally billions of dollars. And when you have something that makes literally billions of dollars, you don't suddenly just stop it. The fact that GTA Online has continued to make more money year over year, that's going to tell Take-Two that what they're doing is wanted, that it is profitable, that it is something that they should continue to do. And so they are taking a risk by fragmenting their user base and introducing a new game. And when they do that, they're going to want as many of those players to move from GTA 5 to Red Dead Redemption. Not because they want your $60 game purchase, because that $60 game purchase is primarily going to be covering that single player title, but because they want you to buy their cash cards and things like that. We knew this was going to happen. I don't feel like this is a surprise to anyone. I feel like if you are the person who's going, oh, Red Dead Redemption 2, it's going to be just like Red Dead Redemption 1, you're going to be the one who is surprised. You're going to be the one who is disappointed.
What does surprise me, though, if we look at it from that perspective, is their lack of desire to have this on PC. It seems like they are more concerned with the consoles, and the PC online gaming community is just huge, right? It's one of the largest things in the world. And from my recollection, Rockstar actually wasn't thrilled about the online player base that they received upon releasing GTA 5 Online, not necessarily because of numbers, but more so of they thought that those players in particular were less accepting, more complainy, like you know how PC gamers are. So I wonder if that plays a role in it, but it does shock me either way for them to know that market is out there and look at the success of GTA 5 Online and then say, well, we're going to bring it to consoles and then maybe PC later again. Like, there's so much more success to be had by having it released on all three, in my opinion.
I just don't see that. I think that we have seen that consoles drive more revenue because you cannot buy it on sale. You can't buy it on G2A. You can't buy it on Kinguin. You can't go and get a Steam reseller. You can't go to Green Man, which is something I prefer to do. And, you know, a new game comes out that is $60 on Steam, and Green Man will have it for $15 cheaper. So you're buying it for $45. And that's a price that you're not going to see it on sale on Steam for many months. So you don't have that with consoles. You have the full price immediately for potentially years at $60, especially if it's a popular game and people aren't coming and trading it into GameStop. You have full price games. It makes sense, and it's not something that I am surprised by. I really am not. I know why they're not bringing it to PC. I just wish that they would. When you're seeing this game and you're going, okay, it's on consoles, you should recognize that the reason it's on consoles is because console players pay more money and complain less. And once it comes to PC, we're going to expect it to be $29.99 within 6 months. And they're not going to want to do that. We're going to be expecting Steam sales, and they don't want to do that. We're going to be expecting them to be dropping the price and picking it up on sale, because Steam has trained us as PC players that sales are what you wait for. And I don't see Take-Two and I don't see Rockstar rushing into that. It's something that I think we'll probably continue to see with big releases, especially from Rockstar, but from other people down the road, because the fact is that you make more money and you get less complaints from console players.
That's actually really well said, but here's to hoping that at least it's a good game. I mean, I have faith in Rockstar. I have enjoyed their stuff in the past, So my concerns aside, I'm still looking forward to it. I can't wait to get my hands on it. It's probably my most anticipated game of this year. So I'm glad that you were able to sit down and talk about that with me.
If you like it, like it. If you don't like it, don't like it. But if you did like it, you can watch another video up there in the corner. And as always,
we'll see you guys on the next one.